Hallelujah. Double hallelujah. Ken and Mindy have come to see us. They're back. I saw Ken 2 weeks ago, and I thought he left Mindy, but anyway, she showed up, so we're good. Everything's okay. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, and we present all things to you. And we thank you again this morning that you reveal in your words things we would never otherwise know. And you're telling us and giving us insight of what you're doing, and you're telling us how we can move in this world as you're working. And so we thank you for that, that you're great and powerful, and that you use your people, protect them, and guide them. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray this morning you'd open each heart. I pray you to open my heart and just that it be guided by the Spirit, and this I would have nothing that would not be honoring to you to come from my mouth. And I just pray and give this service to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So everybody made it here through the snowstorm? It was like that, you know? For anyone who's listening, we got an inch of snow. Okay. We're going to be looking at 1 John. I want to turn to 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at verse 18. First John chapter 2, verse 18. And it says this, children, okay, that's all of us, by the way. Children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. Now, you ever feel like sometimes that, like, evil's coming at us from every direction? You're just like, oh my gosh, you know. Well, here, God is telling us what's happening. it's like, no, I know what's happening. This is what's happening. And he's saying this is the last hour. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago. He says, this is the last hour. So I'm guessing this is like the last 10 minutes. All right. It's just like, whoa. You know, you got to, you know, something's going on here. Now, so, but what we see here, and then in a view of the world and what it is and how we live in it, God has given us some insight. And this is to his church. He's speaking to the church, you know, and encourage them. And so we know from the scriptures, we know from this verse, it says that there are many antichrists at work. Now you think, well, okay. We know, basically as believers, there is an antichrist called the Antichrist, okay? And he is basically Satan incarnate. And he is going to come into the world. So, general Christian belief. And that Jesus will return and destroy him. And that's the only way he's destroyed, is Jesus comes back, okay? So we know that. But what this says, no, there's many of them. There's a whole bunch of them at work. So what we have here is a bunch of lesser antichrist, you know, kind of wannabe antichrist, you know, running around, you know. And so the world is full of wannabe antichrist. And so I think it's good. Well, I'm going to look at some verses that talk about the antichrist. But the reason I want to look at them is I want us to kind of get in our mind what these wannabe antichrist looked like. Okay, now they don't have the full power and authority and stuff the antichrist will, but yet they have some of it, and they have the same characteristics, if you will. And so these lesser antichrist and their followers have similar traits, okay, to antichrist and his followers. So that's what I'm doing. I mean, don't, you know, take it too far, okay? These lesser antichrists don't fulfill what the Antichrist will do. Although we have had some, we can go back in our own history and the nation's history, and we can see where people have raised up, which we would classify as none other than Antichrist. They have done horrific damage, you know. But they've been defeated, and, you know, we recover and move on. But we shouldn't be surprised about this. So let's just look, just for information, so we kind of know what these people look like, okay? The people and their followers, okay, because the followers are sucked in to the Antichrist. They're following him, you know. You know, think they're all demon-possessed, no. They're deceived, and they're following him, although many are deceived. But anyway, so here we have 2 Corinthians. There's no overhead here, so you can just listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. And what these verses talk about, the Antichrist. Okay, this is number one bad guy coming that only Jesus is going to destroy. But just look at some of the traits of him. That the lesser Antichrist will have these similar traits. Okay? And it's called, in verse 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. So verse 9 says this, the coming of the lawless one. Okay. What does that name tell you? The coming of the lawless ones. He's going to be he's going to reestablish what? Right or wrong? The lawless one. That's a huge word. It's a huge word. The coming of the lawless one. This is how you're going to recognize him. Okay? The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan. Okay, this is where he's coming from, and this is where his power is coming from. These lesser antichrists, okay, are coming with the same power of Satan. Not the full power, but the point is they're evil. They're lawless ones, and they're coming by the activity of Satan with power and false signs and wonders. Now, the Antichrist, it says very specifically, he actually gives us example, that the Antichrist, he is actually going to do like miracles. You know, you better be very careful about following miracles, you know, because God tells us right here, no, Satan can pull off some miracles. And so these false antichrists are not going to do what the Antichrist is going to do. But what it tells me when I look at that, there's a lot of charisma. There's a lot of influence. There's a lot of things he can pull off by deception, these antichrists are. So there's a lot of, there's an element of authority and power within this individual in a much lesser way, And it says, you'll have all power, false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. God speaks a good line, you know, wicked deception. Who's going to believe it? The ones who are perishing. See, you have a whole group of people who've denied God walking in the darkness, and they're set up, and they're the ones who perish, and they're set up to be deceived. They're set up to be deceived. Again, this is going to be, this is going to be some kind of guy, all right? I mean, he's going to be an impressive individual. And he says, and they, with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Now what he's divided the church from these people. The church has truth, okay? Everyone outside the church is open to be deceived. Now the believing church should not be because they love the truth. So he's setting, so here you can see the influence of how these people work. So the church will become an irritant to the Antichrist and to the lesser Antichrist. The church is an irritant. Okay, so this is what we're seeing here. Therefore, God acts in this evil situation. And some of you aren't going to like this. But this is what God acts in this unbelieving situation. Therefore, God sends them, these people that are perishing because they refuse to know the truth. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. What he says, you won't believe it? Fine. I'll empower him to tell you more lies and you're going to believe it. You think, well, God, you should reverse that. No, these people have made their decision, and he says, you're going to get what you turn to and more. But it was their decision. See, so we let, well, God change them. It's like, he's going to actually deceive them more that they follow. But it's their decision. It's not God's decision. Anyway, and it says, therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. They're going to buy in this thing hook, line, and sinker. In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, so what we see is a division happening. Okay? Division. Well, now, this is going to happen, by the way, and I'm one of these pre-trib rapture guys, you know. Like, I may be right or wrong. I just pray that I am a pre-trib rapture guy, because then I'll go before this happens. Okay, that's my prayer. I mean, I don't even care if I'm theologically right or not. I'm still praying that I just don't want to be here. So, that's my theology on pre-trib rapture. We won't be here. But in these situations, what we're going to do, we're going to see people with these characteristics, and you're going to see, and they're evil, and it says that they're actually used by Satan, and they're evil, and they mislead, and they lead people astray. But the people who are going to be subject to be led astray are those who reject Christ. So he's making a big division within the church, and that's what we need to be aware of. You know, so, you know, how many times I've heard, and recently said, man, you know, you can be anything except a Christian. Why? This is why. This is why. You know, God said, just know it. This is what's happening. Don't be surprised about all this. Okay, so here we are. We should not be surprised. God is warning us to watch out for evil teaching, which is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, now he's talking to the church. Oh man, all these unbelievers, they're believing this. Okay, well, yeah, but he's talking to us. Don't let the spirit of Antichrist influence the church. Now, it's going to be very deceptive, you know, the spirit of Antichrist trying to get into the church. In 1 John 4:3, it says this, 1 John 4:3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. I belong to XYZ religion. God gave me a word, and this is what God says. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. You don't listen to those folks. You don't listen to them. I actually believe that evil has the capacity to speak to people and prompt people and reveal things to people. People say, well, I'm not a Christian, but I know the Lord spoke to me. I'm going, you're not a Christian, and I know the Lord didn't speak to you, but I do believe you were spoken to. See? I do believe you were spoken to. Now, and people, well, no, you know, there's all goodness, and this is God's doing good things, and God was telling me to do this good things. It had to be from God. You know, I don't believe in Jesus, but it had to be from God. Well, I'm sure you heard something. But God didn't speak to you. Positive. See, because that's what this verse says. Didn't speak to you. If you don't trust Jesus, the Spirit of God doesn't speak to you. But there are other spirits that show up in the scriptures that speak to people. Okay? Because the world's full of spirits. Satan is a spirit. He speaks to people. You think Satan's going to come down and red and horns and tail and come up and just proclaim himself, scare people to death, you know, and get his work done? No, he uses people. He uses people, okay? And he has a capacity to disguise himself as an angel of light. You know? So anyway, so here's the picture we have. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming and now is in the world already. So the spirit of Antichrist is already here. He's already here. And what this is saying, if someone says, I don't believe in Jesus, but the spirit spoke to me, well, that's the spirit of Antichrist. That's for us to know. See, we're not influenced at all. We're not. In fact, we're like, whoa. You know, boy, this person's really perceptive, and kind of they do these little seances, and you know, and think they make the table rise, and you know, all this stuff. You go, whoa. Oh, they can't, you couldn't make that happen unless it was God. Oh, yeah, you can, you know, because there's something else in the world. There's evil in the world. There's evil in the world. So I don't ever question something. Well, I went to this, you wouldn't believe. God spoke to this person and they told me this, and you know, there's some witch or something like that. What do you think? I won't say immediately, but that's the spirit of Antichrist. And this person was spoken to. There's charlatans, and then there are those that the evil does speak to, which are worse than charlatans. So anyway, so God's, you know, God's letting us know that. Now, you'll notice the title of the message is Do Not Be Intimidated. You know, because about now you're going, this doesn't sound good. You know, I mean, good grief. You know, I just should have stayed with everybody else and watched it snow. Lordy, I didn't need to hear this. Hey, but no, do not be intimidated by any of this. The church does not need to be intimidated. See, although the spirit of Antichrist will bring, and this is, now we're looking at the church, the spirit of Antichrist. Now, Satan's smart. You know, give the guy some credit. I mean, he's smart. He's been around a long time. You know, you ever been walking along and Satan, like, and you know it's Satan because you wouldn't thought of it. It kind of whispers something into your ear about you or something. It just cuts to the core. And you go, my God, where did that come? That's not godly. Who would know that? Satan does, because he knows you. He's not omnipresent. He's just been around. You know, he's just watching. Yeah, that's what they did. I'll just bring it up later. You know. So understand what's going on. It's good for us to know what's going on in the world around us. So when you look at the church, he has to do work differently within to the church to get his foothold in the church, because again, the church is his problem. The church is his problem. I'm going to say it again, just because I had this, my pet peeve drives me nuts. See, the church is Satan's problem, and our old governor Northam says the church is non-essential. Where did those words come from? The demonic to the core. Demonic, because the church is the only answer. There's no other answer. There's no other answer. See, so we're not to be intimidated. Now, so the spirit of Antichrist will bring in the world's thinking. The world's thinking. It'll bring in the world's morality. It'll bring in compromising false doctrines. You know, just he'll attack all of those things, you know. And it's subtle. And he builds in and then totally people of influence. You know, well, it's not that bad. Or, you know, you've heard the story. You know how that goes. Anti-Christian beliefs. But the spirit of Antichrist, but again, it's smooth. It's smooth. It's smooth. Now, here's something. Now, this is supposed to be encouraging. Okay? It's supposed to be. We're glad. Now, see, it's difficult. Is these challenges will be, they will also serve to purify the church. It'll purify the church. See, these challenges will force believers to take a stand and grow stronger in their faith. You'll have to make a stand and grow stronger in your faith. And then also what it does, these challenges reveal or they expose those who don't have genuine faith. You see? We don't like that. No, here it is. It's right in front of you, and you're going to have a choice. No, I can't. I'm standing on what the Word of God says. I know it. I'm standing on it. The other person, well, listen, I love you and everything, but you're just being a little too strict. Look. Now, you're just being too hard to get along with, and no, you need to give a little, and we got to, you know, be encouraging my friends and stuff, and you're going, so they're nice. They'll be nice about it. But what it exposes, there's not a solid faith. It exposes, and then it becomes apparent. And you go, I can't do that. We can't do that. There's a division. There's a division. You're just too hard to get along with. You're not loving. You're not caring. I'm just going to have to go to XYZ church. You know? And what God did, he purified his church. Because you have a choice. Everybody had a choice. Both people had a choice. God didn't do it. He had a choice. It just was the spirit of Antichrist brought in, you know, subtleties and made his people choose. Made his people choose. It made the other people choose. You know, some people really are thinking, this is way too hard. You're unloved. There's divisions that happen when you stand on the Word of God. Again, The church can just be such irritant in these times like that. Okay, now, here, aren't you encouraged? I told you it'd be encouraged. No. My son said, I'm a lot of things, but an encourager is not one of them. He said, that is not your gift. Don't ever say that. He asked me not to say that in his presence ever again. He's like that. So, anyway, so listen to this verse that, you know, basically tells this. 1 John 2:19. Now, this helps us understand 1 John 2:19. You go, well, why? He's talking to about people that leave, that separate from us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. He's talking to the church. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. It just became clear. Nothing's changed, really. It just became clear. Who's with you? Who's not with you? Now, who's with Christ? Who's not with Christ? You know, we can kind of get our little thing, be with me in this. No, who's with Christ and who's not with Christ? And that's what that verse said. And so we wouldn't be surprised, because how many of, and I know I've done, I can't believe this person, it's just went off and they don't seem to care anything. How can that happen? It happens all the time. It's just a decision. Well, did he just give up on Christ? No, he never was with Christ. He just made a profession. But he never was with Christ. That's what this verse says. He didn't give up. He never was with you. Okay? And you go, oh. I mean, it's a whole different perspective. It's hard to, like, well, but they did so good. They were so good to get along. They were so, he just recognized, no. There was not a sincere belief. He didn't ever receive Christ. He was just fun to hang out with, so he hung out with you. Anyway. There we go. Now, this is the truth, and I know we've all experienced. Often we suffer the pain of people who separate from us. We suffer that pain. And sometimes we suffer the pain of going, you know, I need to separate from that person. Right? People just separate from you? Are you going so far in this? I'm going to have to separate from you. I mean, it'd be nice, but I'm just going to have to separate from you. See, and that is painful. But what we fail to realize is that God is removing them to purify us so that we can continue to grow deeper in the things of the Lord. You can't grow. You can't grow with these people. And so God removes them. I mean, I'll use an example. I've shared this before. When I went to high school, we had a group of guys. I love those guys. It was a nice bunch of unsaved guys. We had a blast. But I couldn't grow with them. I couldn't grow with them, you know. I couldn't, you know, and they're still friends, but they just couldn't, they had to be, and of course there's a huge separation. Now I shouldn't say this, Linda tells me I shouldn't say this stuff all the time. I went back to a funeral, I met one of the guys I graduated from high school with. Now he was joking, but he was jabbing me. He says, man, how about me and you go get drunk after the funeral? Why would he say that to me? Because he knew full well that's what we used to do. You know, and it's like, I said, I'll just pass this time. Just pass. See, I love the guy. I really do love him. You just couldn't grow with him. I just couldn't grow in the Lord with him. So, anyway, what you do, you see this happening is God's moving in you, and you'll see people just say they have to separate, but then you'll see that you also have to move on. And I'm not talking about necessarily unbelievers. I'm thinking sometimes, a lot of times, believers. You're just going to have to separate from some believers because they're just not where you are, you know. And when I mean separate, I don't mean like you never see them again or anything like that, but I'm just like you grow together. And you just can't do it. And only reason I'm saying this, don't be shocked when it happens. All right? And say, okay, God's doing something. He's trying to take me deeper so I can grow in the deeper things of the Lord. And so with these painful trials, church becomes stronger. You become stronger. You say, God. You know, it's like, that's not the way I want it to be. So, no, that's the way it has to be. That's the way it has to be. Listen at 1 Corinthians 11:19. First, why is there a dissension in the church? You can't believe how many people have asked me that. Why I've asked that. Other than sin. Okay, you got up. But 1 Corinthians 11:19. Talking to the church. There must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. You're going to see when the problems come in and the people that cause problems and are separating themselves, then you look out and God does that because then you can see. When you see those who are separating themselves into cliques or separating themselves into sinful thinking or separating themselves into, you know, other things that the spirit of Antichrist may have or tendencies like that, you're going to be able to look. And what you're going to be able to see is you're going to see who are those who stand genuine. That's what I'm saying. But look what I said. Factions must come. Because if they come, you would never know who's genuine. Well, you know, now, so we're looking at this. I told you Mitch said I wasn't an encourager, all right? So here I am. Now, so here is, but let's look at this. Believers, we'll see how encouraging it. Believers and the church as a whole should move forward with power. See, that's what God's doing. He's having the believers and the church move forward with power. Factions must come. So we can see who's genuine as you move forward with power. And so then you recognize it. And it's hard to deal with, but you see what God is doing. Now, so we're going, okay. See what God's doing, and he wants those that are genuine, that committed to him, and he wants them to grow in power and grow in faith in the Lord. So here we are standing. Now, on top of everything else we have in the world today access to more information than we ever had in history. Do you realize that? More information than anyone has ever had in all of history. We have it right now in front of us. That's unbelievable. And then the thing of it is, masses of this information is not true. Masses of it's partly true. Masses of it's just incomplete. You know, so you have all sorts of this just comments like, oh my God, what do I do with this, you know? Well, don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Through God's presence, we can maneuver through any deception. The church, through God's presence, can maneuver through any deception. So now again, the world is caught under deception, you know. But again, we'll focus on the church, that the deception's coming into the church so Satan can deceive the church, and he'll deceive the church, and it won't be powerful. You know, and things like question scripture, question prayer, question God being in control of all things. Just all sorts of things. What has God said? And all those things make the church powerless. But through God's presence, we can maneuver through any deception. Okay? Now, again, I'll just use this again, just one thing. It's my hobby horse. I went bonkers when I heard our old governor, Northam, say the church is not essential. I went berserk. I mean, I was by myself, but I was berserk by myself. Why? Totally against Scripture. Totally demonic. Totally evil. See, I didn't have to look up anything. I knew it. That word, when I heard, that's an attack on the church, you know. And it was a demonic attack on the church. Evil. And it was the core belief that the coming Antichrist will use to destroy the church. See, it's just a seed. It's just a seed. But again, but that's what I'm that's the thing I'm talking about. I didn't look anything up how many people come. No, that's evil. That's evil. That's more than evil. That's demonic. You know, that's demonic. So that's what we're talking about here. Is we need to, we have the capacity in the presence of God. We have the capacity in the presence of God to stand through this massive information coming at us. Not necessarily evil, just masses of it, you know, coming at us. And then tied into that also the spirit of Antichrist. Okay? Now, are you ready to hear how we stand up against it? All God's people? Amen. You got finally, I mean, get off the nickel, man. Tell us how to do this. Okay, it's 1 John 2:20. And you notice it's like the next verse after the introduction. 1 John 2:20. Now read it. We believe the inspiration of the Word of God. Amen? You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Amen? Then you got to believe this verse. God, believe this verse. But you, stop. Stop. But you, the mass of information, the spirit of Antichrist, holy cow, right there. But you, see, that he just separated us from all that. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. Can't get nothing over me. Throw the information at me. You can't get anything over me. You know, lie to me. You can't get anything over me. Why? Because it's been anointed by the Holy One and have all knowledge. It's all knowledge. And this whole book, when he's going through these things, that's what he's telling us. No. But you. That means I have X, Y degree. That's why I have X, Y studies. This is why whatever. No, it's because you've been anointed by the Holy One. That's why. Period. See? So we've been anointed by the Holy One, and we have all knowledge. You guys say, come on. I mean, Woods here, he's captain of a submarine. He's, well, I have all knowledge, I could run a submarine. And God would, like he does, oh, he said, no, it's not what I'm talking about. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about functioning in life, recognizing truth, and being able to operate the way God intends you to operate. If you're going to operate a submarine, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to go to Cornell, you know, and I could never get accepted to Cornell, so I'm done. I couldn't even get in, you know. And then you got to join the Navy. Then you go through this. It's like, oh, good grief. See, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who have been anointed by the Holy One, which are believers. And therefore, you have all knowledge to function in this world and to discern lies and deception and evil. See? Amen? Now, it's very interesting. It says we all have knowledge. And so I looked up this word knowledge, and it really has an interesting meaning. It means knowledge, okay. It doesn't mean anything else, but it means knowledge. But the definition of, the literal definition that used here, it means, and I just think this is fascinating to me, it means to know by perception. Think about that. I know this because 2 + 2 = 4, and I know that, so I know any other time I have knowledge, 2 + 2 = 4. He says, no, you just look, and you have a perception. You're not even sure why you have it. You perceive. See? So, knowledge means to have a perception, to know by perception the ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses. I mean, really? So what it's saying that because you're anointed by the Holy One, by the way, anybody know what the Holy One is? Holy Spirit. You've been anointed by the Holy One. Therefore, by perception, you can discern things. Discern things, which act without actually knowing, there's a perception of what you can see, and it's ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses. Through the senses. See, it takes it to a level of walking in and having, you know, a sense of something around you and really can't pinpoint why you feel that way. How many of you have ever walked into a place or a situation, walked up and just like, I don't belong here. I don't feel good. I don't belong here. You know what? You don't belong there. You know? And the Holy Spirit's going, you don't belong here. How many of you have like just motivated? I just feel like, you know, just prompted. I just feel like we should do such and such, or I should call such and such. And I don't know. I just think we need it. And you do it, and it just, everything just falls into place. You do? It's perception. Now, you don't just run and do it. You might kind of feel it out. And then say, well, no, this turned out to be a really good thing. You have the anointing from the Holy One. Okay, now these are natural senses. That means unbelievers have natural senses too. I mean, you hear an unbeliever say, my gut told me, you know. But we're talking about something bigger than that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit working through our senses to communicate the things of God. And we have all knowledge. And one of the things we'll understand is the deceptions of Satan. They'll just make us go spiritually crazy. The deceptions of Satan will just make us react to them. God makes it, well, that don't bother me. Ought to, you know. I don't care what's going on with you. I know what's going on with me. You see what I'm saying? But anyway, so there's the word. So when it says we've been anointed by the Holy One, and it says have all, we have the ability to know by perception, hear and see through our senses, our eyes, our hearing, and stuff. God is working through the Holy Spirit through all our senses that He made us. See, that's how the Holy Spirit works. See, this is the Holy Spirit working to bring to mind or prompting us to be able to immediately discern false teaching or divine guidance. Now, I'm going to highlight a word here. Immediately. Immediately. You will hear a false teaching. The Holy Spirit will immediately tell you that's wrong. Maybe you don't know why, but it's wrong. Something that's not right. Or there will be immediately a guidance. Oh, gosh, I don't know. I have time. Okay, the best time, you know, you go, there's immediate guidance. That's anointing from the Holy One who teaches us, who moves us, prompts us. It's immediate. Well, I'll go home and study it, and I'll come up with my solution, and I believe God says this. That's not what I'm talking about. That's good, but that's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what this is saying. And again, I'll use my saying. Governor Northam said, the church is not essential. I didn't have to look up nothing. I said, hey, buddy, oh, you just fried me. You know, I mean, nothing. Immediate. And it was beyond discussion. You see what I'm saying? But, and again, I just use that because I've used it so many times. But the point of the communication is that we need to have a strength, because the context of everything 1 John's talking about is this world is evil. You've got the spirit of Antichrist. Satan uses deception. The whole world's being deceived. And we're going, oh, my God, you know what's going on? He's not worried about it. You have the anointing from the Holy. You will know. So you will know. And you need to know you will know. You know? Like that. Now, so here we have this, and again, immediately discern false teaching or divine guidance. Now, I'm not saying God can't and the Holy Spirit work later, but the point of it is, it's immediate from within, okay? This ministry of the Holy Spirit is set forth in the gospel, in the gospel of John, and Jesus says this, John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into the truth. What word did I leave out? All. He'll divide you. He'll lead you into all truth. I mean, it's like, come on, you just keep repeating yourself. Oh, everything. And God said, don't be intimidated. You will know. Lock into me. You will know the truth. You will be able to discern the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist. Now, and here's something really important. Really important, especially with on television, the masses of information, masses of Christian information. Holy crud. You know, we never need to be intimidated by an authoritative or about authoritative sounding people who bring new doctrines, old doctrines, or deny old ones. We'll never have to be intimidated. Hey, I had a new revelation from God, and we're doing, you know, it's like he has a big following, and just, it's like, mm-mm. No. There's no reason. But I went to school XYZ and did XYZ and this experience XYZ, and you go, I don't care what you did. Uh-uh. You know, I wouldn't walk across the street to listen to you. Now, you don't have to tell anybody that. You could be. But the point of it is, that's what's speaking to us here. It says in 1 John, then says again, it's the Gospel of John. We know, God, what's going on here? Tell me what's going on here. Don't be caught in the world's deception. Now, our anointing, the Holy Spirit, is smarter with more insight than any other influence around us. I'm telling you. And he's telling us this. I mean, this is what the Bible said. This is what God's saying. The Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit within us has more insight, more influence than anything we run into. Do not be intimidated by anybody. By anybody. Now, here's big explanation point right here. I'm going to read this through. I want you to listen carefully. I want you to listen very, very carefully. And I'm going to repeat it just to drive it home. Do you believe the scriptures? Right? Do you believe Christ paid the penalty for your sins? Is it script? Yeah. Then you got to believe this next verse. You got to believe it. All right? You got to believe it. You ready? You need to get your marker out or highlighter out or on your iPad, highlight it. This is one you will highlight. 1 John 2:27. Notice I've stayed in 1 John. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing that you have received from him, God, abides, lives in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie. Just as he has taught you, live in him. What? Who teaches you? Who teaches you? His anointing. Now, I've made this before. You stand up. You come before heaven. And Jesus says, where'd you learn about the salvation of Christ? Well, Wallace told me. He goes, oh, geez. I mean, that's your source? I mean, then, he'd have to give a few people come in over and really examine this person. It's like, man, I don't know how they'll get it from anywhere. But no, how did you know that you came to know the fullness of who Christ is? His anointing taught me. His anointing taught me. How did you know how to live the Christian life? His anointing taught me. His anointing taught me. See, I always think about entering counseling. You know, you go in counseling, and there's certain things, you know, counsel, there's like logical things you should do in counseling and stuff like that. And, you know, don't pick your nose in front of people. I mean, it's just really shouldn't, you know. You can counsel them not to do that, and I'm being facetious. But wait a minute. For them to change, the anointing has to teach them. So if you don't ever introduce them to Jesus, into the Holy Spirit, you're just covering stuff with Band-Aids. That's all you're doing. I'm just telling you. Anytime somebody else talks to me, first thing we talk about is the gospel. I mean, I ask how their family's doing and, you know, stuff like that. But we're going to talk about the gospel first thing. Because anything I say from then on will be based on that. Are you willing to walk through me with that? See? Because it's a waste of time. Eternally, it's a waste of time. You see what I'm saying? So, but you see what this is saying. I want you to read this verse and think about this verse and what it is saying. The anointing that you have received from him abides in him. What's the anointing? Holy Spirit. The anointing you receive. The anointing you receive is Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to buy this car. I'm going to call Wallace. It's like, which would be such a huge mistake. Oh my God, you know, I mean, that would be disastrous to ask that question. But no, it's like, the anointing will teach you. The anointing. Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm making it put in the level so we can put our hands around. You don't need somebody to teach you. His anointing teaches you. It puts us in a whole new level of walking with the Lord. And again, all this information coming at us, his anointing will teach you. See? It will. You will be able to discern deception. You can't captain the submarine, but other than that, his anointing will teach you. And that's what this verse is. And just look at it, memorize it. And then it goes on, and the anointing teaches you about how much? Everything. It always just sticks in. All, everything, complete, you know, teach you about everything. And you know, a good thing when the anointing teaches you, it's true. It's not a lie. It's true. There's no question. There's no question. When the Lord shows, there's no question. And you move individually. Now, so here we are. Oh my gosh, I was running behind. I thought I was done. I'm going to have to speed up. Sorry, I got carried away here. The anointing teaches us about all things, and we can trust the Spirit to teach us and lead us into all truth, just as Jesus promised. John 14:26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. How many things? All things. If we would listen to our spirit teacher, we would not need any human teacher in spiritual matters. So do not let anyone cast doubt upon your spiritual experience. You are the only one, you are the only living expert on your relationship with the Spirit of Jesus. On the Spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we need to be aware, okay? Always have to be aware because somebody, I mean, you just have to say this, you know. And we need to be vigilant about the spirit of the Antichrist, you know. Going, oh, God spoke to me, you know, and I'm supposed to, you know, take your car and home. You know, I mean, it's just junk like that, you know. So in 1 John 4:1, it says this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. You test the spirits. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit. You have them. You test the spirits. And you discern the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of God. You test the spirits. In a way, and I mean this for teaching, every time you come and listen to me, in a way, you test the spirits. You test the spirits. And I would expect to you, any of you, and I said to, well, listen, I think God's a goat. He said, no. No. Why? Because that my spirit reacts to that. I don't believe in the Trinity. Your spirit reacts. See? And it should react. And you should obey what your spirit tells you in that. I should be confronted in the least and at the most. You should find someplace else. Because your spirit, it's something that, you see what I'm saying? It's a deception. It's a lie. It's a deception. It's a lie. So, but also you need to know your Bible because whatever the anointing teaches us is totally consistent with the Bible. I believe in earth came by evolution. I don't believe God created it, but I believe all the rest of it like that. And you go, listen to what the Bible says. So it's not of the Spirit, because that's not what the Bible says. You see what I'm saying? So you, there's, but it's just like you ought to know, as believers, you would automatically know that. Don't be intimidated. We'll wrap it up with this. The Holy Spirit will give immediate and direct guidance in any and all situations we face. Remember that Jesus said, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, will guide us into all truth. Amen? Will guide us into all truth. Look at Mark 13:11. Mark 13:11. Do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit, His anointing. Amen? Hallelujah. So, but most importantly, we have to hear Jesus. To hear Jesus, we have to know Jesus. Somebody that doesn't know Christ, you cannot receive what they say. Oh, they're on their, no, they're not there. Have to know Christ. We have to know Christ. The person has to know Christ before you can hear from Christ, before you can hear from the Holy Spirit. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Immediately, God will give us guidance that we can discern the lie. Discern guidance as it comes to you. Amen? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. And Lord, we thank You for Your word, that You tell us stuff we would never otherwise learn, never otherwise know. And the unbelievable, the God of the universe, Jehovah Jireh, that He dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. And He speaks today. He leads today. He guides us today. And He gives us the ability to discern deception, discern guidance, and discern the situation around us, and to be able to act in power based on what He shows us. Name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.